I think they do need to contribute. I think that's reasonable.
Well, here's my question, then. Is there room for compromise? We've heard of a wide variety of models and differing points of view on them in different orientations, let's say, towards the mission
mm-hmm.
of Pacifica. Where is the room for compromise or people looking at a win-lose situation here?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be decided. The issue will be decided by the interim national board and the five local boards.
Right.
So the five local boards and the interim national board will have to reach an agreement as to who the voters are, the manner of election of the local and national boards. So there's going to have to be some dialogue back and forth. Two-thirds of the national board has to approve, and a minimum of three of the five local boards. So everybody gets to make their case for why they think this is a workable or a good way to do it, and then the five local boards and the national board are just going to have to decide something. And probably what they decide will make nobody completely happy, but everybody's perhaps somewhat happy.
Marguerite?
Yeah, in terms of compromise, I'm concerned about the pace in which all of this is moving so rapidly. The creative ideas brought forth by the constituency model would need to be publicized and would need to be included in the decision. So I although I like to see more discussion and things, but I don't see how it can be made with
That's very sad. We had a timetable laid out by the legal settlement, which says that we're supposed to have our local boards elected by the end of this year and a new national board elected by the end of March in 2003. So beginning in March of this year, the subcommittees were formed around the country, and there's been 6 months of discussion.
Right.
And so many creative and wonderful ideas have come forward. It's just been very dynamic and exciting and sometimes quite contentious. But there have been 6 months of discussion. I expect that we're not going to make our timetable. That's my worst-case scenario. I don't think we will. But we're going to need to do it pretty fast. And there is a definite harm that's occurring to Pacifica the longer we delay. In the interim, we have an interim national board, which is made up of people who've just been kind of thrown together and placed there as a result of a legal settlement, who do not agree with one another, who do not work well together, who do not have a consistent vision of Pacifica, and who are unable to oversee Pacifica in an orderly way. And that covers everything from budgeting to program vision, to you name it. And so Pacifica remains somewhat rudderless and directionless until we move out of this interim period and into a period where we have some regularized procedures and people can begin to come together to formulate the next era of Pacifica. So delay hurts Pacifica.
I want to say that a number of us have been waiting to see a bylaws version of the constituency model. I think that the first sort of proposal was all the way back in May of a constituency model, but it hasn't been presented in bylaws. And trying to prepare for this is Kurt Gray. I tried to find a bylaws version so I could know what I was talking about. I still don't know the details of the constituency model at this point. I know that there have been people on our air out here in KPFA invited on to speak in favor of it, and yet we still haven't seen a bylaws version. So it is really hard to discuss these issues if we don't have an actual bylaws where we can go through it line by line. I'm not clear, for instance, that subscribers are constituted as a constituency themselves. It sounds like they're supplemented into other constituencies and that their status as subscribers doesn't necessarily count in terms of their status as members who get to vote. And I'm disturbed by that, you know, personally. I think that, unfortunately, sometimes at the stations, there can be an attitude that the subscribers are just supposed to write a check and shut up, and that there's maybe something wrong with them, that they're not the right kind of people, even though they're the ones that support the mission when they don't have to, with their money, which is, you know, hard-earned in some cases. I mean, maybe some subscribers are well off, but I'm sure a number of subscribers, that $25 or whatever is hard-earned, and they put it there because they think it's important. And so I'm a little disturbed that they aren't really that they seem to be like second-class citizens in some of this thinking.
Okay, Kurt.
They're the ones that got us back in at KPFA in 1999. It was the listeners who got the staff and the activists back on the air. It was the average listener who came out and filled the streets and got us back in there.
Okay, well, we want to bring some of our listeners in fairly shortly, but Kurt Gray and Carol Spooner are on the phone with us from the West Coast. You're listening to WBAI New York. That's 99.5 on the FM dial. This is a bylaws special program, part of our weekly 2 hours. These programs move about the schedule of ideally a different place and a different audience, a different constituency of listeners each week. Marguerite Dominique, you wanted to add on to Kurt Gray was saying.
Yes, I'd like to tell Kurt that the constituency inclusion model has evolved from May. And as of last night, we finished the draft, but it's going to the different groups for approval. So it will be on the internet shortly for you, for all.
I look forward
Great.
To it.
Also, we're looking forward to reading it very much.
For a long time.
Also, I would like to counter the position that things have to be done in short order so that we are safer. At Pacifica, I feel, and we feel, that we have to involve more creative energies by involving the communities and actually to be able to spend a little longer time working on bylaws will make us much stronger.
One thing is the bylaws are not ever finished. The bylaws can be revised every year from now to the next 50 years. I hope that won't happen. I hope that we'll do a pretty good job and have a year or two to evaluate them and perhaps make some changes in a year or two. And then, you know, keep looking at it as we go along and adjusting it to make certain that our bylaws are serving the mission and are bringing people together in effective decision-making processes. But I am very, very, very worried about continuing the interim board. I think that it's not good for Pacifica.
Well, at this point, I should mention that that interim board will be meeting in Houston, the home of KPFT, next weekend. And this station, again, will be broadcasting those proceedings live over the air. And in fact, we'll be broadcasting those a week from now, from this very moment. We'll be broadcasting some of the procedures with public comment of the interim national board. We are at 8 minutes past 4 o'clock right now, and I know from sitting in on these programs in the past, our listeners, our supporters, do demand their time and their space. So I would just ask the panel if we can take just 5 more minutes or so and try to get a few more points across so that we can really give the listeners some space this time.
Well, if I could, you know, I think that all the different models for how we're going to define our membership and who gets the vote, that's a very crucial issue, and it's central to what we're doing. But I also think an extremely excruciatingly important issue is how we're going to distribute local and national authority.
Yes.
That our local community stations for the past decade have been subjected to strategic plans and changes in direction crammed down their throats by a national organization that was unaccountable and really did not consult the local stations about what was appropriate for their communities.
With the listeners kept completely in the dark.
Yeah, and that no matter what, having elected local and national boards will require a dialogue throughout the organization about our direction forward. And I would really like to see an integrated model so that national committees don't go off by themselves and make decisions without consulting local people, and so that local programming and local decision-making is also supportive of developing a national voice for Pacifica, which we need so desperately in these times when we're about to go to war with Iraq and we're declared war on so-called terrorists all over the world and are eliminating the Fourth Amendment protections against searches and seizures and our, all of our civil rights and civil liberties in this country. We need to build a national voice that's supported from its base. And so distribution of and integration of decision-making processes throughout Pacifica, I think, is tremendously important.
And I think also that the stations themselves have to take a different attitude towards their role. They have to remember that they are community-based media outlets, that they're not just media outlets that produce a commodity and people either consume it or don't, that they have to have constant interface and outreach to communities, constantly expanding that, constantly renewing that, reaching out for more communities, letting people know that they're there, asking how they can better serve progressive communities and oppressed communities in an active way. And I don't think that's the way most of the stations operate. I know I've been very active since I was elected to the board in trying to get KPFA to expand that, and I have been successful, and other activists have been successful, and that's starting to pay off in terms of the programming and the amount of outreach that we're having, and that is essential. And I believe the interim Pacifica National Board, in fact, I think passed something at the last meeting indicating, Carol can correct me, that each of the stations has to get on the road to hiring an outreach coordinator to get
right.
that happening. And it needs to happen.
Yeah.
All right, Carol Spooner and Kurt Gray, we want to keep you with us. We'll be going to a quick break and some phones fairly soon, but we wanted to sort of leave this section with Marguerite and Fred making some final statements about your perspective on some of these issues.
Well, I have some criticism of the KPFA model because I don't see the activist input into that model. It doesn't go far enough as the use of the network as an instrument of change. I have a problem with that. And it also links membership and voter eligibility to financial contributions.
Or volunteer
service. Very low contributions.
Yeah. And also the funding should not drive governance. If we do that, then we're going against Pacifica's mission. And it has no outreach mechanism model, as I see. And also the KPFE model doesn't have a diversity requirement. It only talks about women and people of color, but the other groups are not mentioned at all. What about people with disability? What about gay, bisexual, and lesbian community? What about the prisoners? What about the indigenous people? It doesn't mention, it doesn't account for any of these groups. So that's my problem with it, and it tends to favor voting groups that are a large part of the registration pool.
And well, what we found from our registration pool is that they elect people from all of those groups, so long as the candidates are there. That's what proportional representation has produced.
Right. You have to get the candidates there first, and that's where the outreach comes into. And the outreach is actually essential. Having been involved in the process, having written the election, I have to say that outreach is the key aspect of the KPFA model, because you have to have that candidate pool for the proportional representation to work.
Okay.
So, and we just decided that we couldn't make an endless list of oppressed people, that it was better to have some basic sort of categories to make sure that we'd have, you know, representation in terms of ethnicity and gender, and then to let proportional representation and outreach do the rest. And we have been very successful in that.
Okay, I'd like to respond to that. As far as the outreach, our model specifically includes the hiring of outreach coordinators because we feel like it is so important. And as far as the issue of endless constituencies, We have a list of 13 constituencies which, if we put in front of any people, any progressive people, they will recognize that those are oppressed and underrepresented constituencies. So it's not the question of trying to invent, mission constituency. In addition to that, we recognize that geographical and at-large constituencies and also the staff are there. It's not a question of privileging anybody. It's the question of including everybody that is describing the constituencies of a Pacifica and a mechanism on how to all include all of them.
How large would the local board be under your model? How many people?
36.
That's part of the problem from my point of view. I think that it becomes unmanageable at that point.
Okay, gentlemen.
Maybe the price of democracy.
Well, gentlemen, the price of democracy is also that we should bring our audience onto this discussion. Again, you're listening. Let me reintroduce our panel and let me give you the phone number. The phone number here to call in, and please try to be as succinct as you can with your perspectives and your questions and your suggestions on these bylaws revisions issue. On the phone with us from the West Coast are Kurt Gray and Carol Spooner. In the studio is Ray LaForest of the Local Advisory Board and the National Board of Pacifica, the Interim National Board. And we're also joined by Marguerite Dominique and Fred Nguyen, who have been working on one set of bylaws revision ideas at the local side. As we always say, there are others. And perhaps there will be some other representations coming in on the phone. Our number here in New York City is, this is all for you, by the way, who don't have speed dial, because we want to hear some new voices this time out. Our area code is 212, and the direct line to get on the air is 209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. And we will open the proceedings with you. You're on WBAI. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hello? Well, we'll go to another one. Here we are. Oops, wait a second. Hello, you're on WBAI.
Good afternoon, everyone. With regards to this conversation, I want y'all to, just from a listener's point of view, all of what the success of BAI and Pacifica is with regards to the current bylaws as they exist. And with the bylaws as they exist, you are doing what it is that you do. I don't think the problem is in the bylaws. I think the problem was in those who tried to interpret the bylaws in a way in which it diverted from the direction of the mission. So I think that if you pay very, very close attention to that, the success is based on the current bylaws, not on what will be the projected success of the modifications of the bylaws. Based on what I heard, the current model that we're using to reorganize this membership inclusion voting has a 25,000 membership reduced to those who only contribute some way monetarily, out of which the first election they got 20%, which is 500 out of 25,000. You would think that if you reduce your voters to a specific category that you should get more than 20%, and then the next year it goes down to 17%, and that's 475 voters. So that's not a success if you're looking for success as voter participation in this membership base. I think you're trying to write into legislation the riddance of deception. You can't do that. That's in somebody's nature. If they're going to be a deception, that existed in what happened with this mess that's at BAI now. Deception didn't work because of the structure of the current bylaws. So I think that if you change the bylaws as they exist, it may not in the future be able to protect us from what has happened in the past. Another thing, membership. There are so many people who are members of BAI who can't pay money. And this, I believe, more than 500 people are members of and direct the things that happen at the Pacifica Station. So if we realize that right now we're spending too much time trying to change that which probably already works, and if we were all truthful, if you ask Lou Hill what is it that his opinion would be of the changes that people are suggesting, I think if someone characterized himself as Lou Hill, they would not be able to convince this man that what they're doing is in the best interest of Pacifica.
All right. Thank you for your comment, caller.
I wanted to say that the 17% result in the second election, in the second election, we actually included people from beyond the previous year because so many people were boycotting, and we didn't want to disenfranchise them because they were boycotting in order to try to bring about change of the national board. So we had a much larger pool in the second, I think it was like 30-something thousand, and so that's when we got the 17. Percent, so it was a much larger pool of people, okay? And I don't think there, I don't know if the gentleman was saying that there was 500 people who voted in the first KPFA election. It was more like 4 or 5,000 people who voted in the first KPFA election.
All right, thank you. That that caller, after you make your statement, generally we're going to have to take you off the air just to keep our lines clear. You're hearing a little bit of a feedback in one of our phone lines. Ray, if you wanted to add to this, then we can take our next call.
Well, I just wanted to add that the caller is correct in the sense that this is that what we're doing, we are really operating under the current bylaws. So obviously, if we can do it, so this work of making change is possible. However, the coup and other abuse of the system also took place within the bylaws, existing bylaws. So it is clear that we want to sharpen language. We want to learn from the experience that we had. We want primarily, we want increased participation of our listeners. We want to redesign a new Pacifica that is more democratic, that is more inclusive, and that is probably the best protection we can have.
And to do all of that while doing top-flight broadcasting, because this is a broadcast entity and not a nation state. You're on WBAI. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm very concerned. I guess you recognize my voice. I'm an original subscriber to... Hello?
Hello?
I'm an original subscriber to WBAI, so I've got 43 years or so in on the docket. What really bothers me is, one, membership is spoken of in financial contribution terms at times. You know, you say you have volunteers, and their volunteering is monetarily, considered, conversion, a barter. So that's good. And then there are those who are so poor but want to, you know, you might have some poor messenger who has so little to live on and yet, listens to the station on his radio as he rides his bike or so. Now, here's the thing. No one has said anything about the freedom of speech as a, quote, requirement. You know, there are people who could be paying dues in from some fascist group and then take over the whole thing by the fact that they have the greater number of votes and so forth. So I say this to you that I've noticed there's been an abuse of freedom of speech on WBAI by people like Al Lewis.
Well, Monroe, I think at that point you your freedom of speech, when what we are not doing, we are not enfranchised to do a report to the listener. So that is an issue for another day. Thank you very much.
Yes, can I respond?
Yes,
with
please.
Regard to the KPFA model, for one thing, the entire local board is not elected at any one time. In addition, there are five local boards that would be sending people to the national board. So that makes it difficult right there for some right-wing organization to pony up the $25 and get a whole bunch of people, $25 per member, and get a whole bunch of people and very quickly take over without people seeing what's happening. And in fact, I have a similar fear around the constituency model, is that since people don't have to even pay, a lot of people can be signed up who may not really know what they're signing up for, but their leaders say this is a good idea. And we know that there are fascisms of the left as well as fascisms of the right.
All right, thank you. We want to keep...
Can I just respond to that?
If you could be quick, because the listeners are standing by right now.
Well, first of all, we have 15 different constituencies, including, you know, the geographical and the at-large, so it seems practically impossible that a fascist group would take over. And the more people participate, I mean, we're looking at 4,000 people participating out of 250,000 people in the listening area, or maybe millions. It seems to me that we can do better than that.
All right. Thank you, Fred Nguyen, for your comment. You're listening to WBAI. If you want to join us and participate, again, your suggestions. We're talking about bylaws revision, how best to represent the communities and the listenership, where they are the same and how they are different, many other issues, many other models. from around the nation, the five stations within Pacifica, and there are also probably discussions similar to this happening at the various affiliate stations in the community radio system. Our number here in New York in the 212 area code is 209-2900, and you are on the air with the panel. Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Susan. I wish you all good afternoon. The program's good. I'd like you all to talk about, and Carol especially, to talk about the range of opinion on staff representation and why you think it's so important and what it should be. Thank you.
The KPFA model prescribes one-third of the boards to be staff representation. This is very controversial. The people in Los Angeles want no staff on the boards. I think they're wrong. There are many misperceptions that exist between listeners and community members and the staff about what goes out over the air and how these things, decisions should be made and who has the power and who should have. But I think that bringing the producers and the people who work inside the station and of whom we ask so much to the table on the board with the listeners, discussing the technicalities and the problems and the visions of what needs to go out over the radio, can only bring about a better understanding and a better, you know, we are a broadcast entity, and that we need to hear from our staff and have their input into the direction of Pacifica in order for us not to create the kind of resistance and toxic work environment that has existed over the past 10 years where staff were simply treated like chattels. Also, I would like to say that over the past 10 years, as things were going downhill, it was mainly staff people who spoke out, who got the word out to the listeners and were defending the mission of Pacifica. And I think they're very valuable and that we need to put our progressive ideals to work in our own workplace, which is Pacifica, which is to give the workers a voice in the governance of the organization they work for or volunteer at.
Okay.
Well,
Ms. Dominique.
Yes. The constituency model foresees six members out of the 36 members of the station board, six members to be staff. So they do recognize staff as a significant part, and also 25% of Pacifica's national board should be staff members.
All right. You're listening to WBAI, our number here. We are at this for another 30 minutes. We're going to try to move through as many of the various callers and their perspectives as we can, and folks will hang on. When you make your statement or ask your question, in all likelihood, I'll have to cut you off just to keep our signal clear, because we're dealing with some funky equipment this afternoon, and you are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm calling with a question about the...
Okay, if you could turn your radio down.
Yeah, sorry. The constituency model, the problem, when I think of it, I always think of it as the appointed seats model, not the inclusion model, because there's no way you could get genuine representation of all the groups there are. Now I'm thinking about New York, but perhaps other cities have the same problem. Genuine representation on the governing board. I mean, I think the mission of Pacifica is to reach out to those groups on the air. But to try and give all of those groups representation equitably on a board is going to result, especially if people have to actually come to a physical location in order to vote, in a very limited number of people with very diluted votes being actually on a board. And I don't see how there can be more inclusion with 36 groups than there would be from, let's say, New York, having the entire city sign up and vote for people it considers inclusionary. Could someone respond to that?
Okay, thank you, caller. I'm going to take you offline now, and we'll get some responses to your point.
Fine, thank you.
Hi, I think this was Carolyn. And Carolyn, the constituency model would bring more people than 4,000. That's guaranteed, because there would be outreach done by 15 groups, separate groups. The communities themselves would look to register voters so they could get representation. It would not be only a centralized radio station and hoping that people will turn to that a signal and listen to it and says, oh, that's an interesting signal. It would be the communities themselves wishing to participate, and therefore we feel we would get much more than 4,000. So that's our bet.
All right, thank you. Any other perspectives on that statement? Okay, we're going to move on to the next caller. You're listening to WBAI. We are at 212-209-2900, and you are on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I like the idea of the constituency model. I'm a disabled person, and I just like to go over a couple of things. When it gets time to voting, how would that work out for people who possibly can't make the vote, and how would that translate in terms of how many votes the disabled constituency would have, and whatnot. And I have another question about possibly putting into the bylaws that each station should have a folio, a program guide, so people could get something tangible with their subscription.
All right, thank you, caller. I'm going to take you offline now, and we'll get some responses to your support and your questions about constituency model, New York style, and perhaps at that point we can also include our friends on the West Coast to talk about their experience with this.
Okay, I'd like to say to the caller that arrangements will be made by the election board for people with disabilities. They would not need to come to the polling areas. They could go to them, to their location. They will be voting differently. That will be accommodated for.
And over on the West Coast, Carol Spooner or Kurt Gray, do you want to respond?
Well, there's been an interest group formed, organized to try to encourage KPFA to be doing more programming around disability issues. There was, of course, programming about that previous to the purges of the mid-90s, and so it's a matter of trying to get that programming back on. The proportional representation model allows the individuals, the subscribers, to decide how they want to rank their voting, and if activists from the disability community run and identify themselves as activists of that community, the subscribers then have the choice, if that is the particular community that they want to identify with, as opposed to a geographical community or ethnic community or a class community interest, they can rank that candidate the highest and get a person elected from that community.
Okay,
Carol. Nothing prevents them from doing that.
Carol Spooner and then Ray LaForest, and we'll take our next call. Carol, anything to add on that?
I think we all want the folios back. That's in some ways it's a budgetary issue, and we're looking at finding the money to do it.
And Ray LaForest?
Yeah, the caller asked specifically of the constituency model, how many votes for example, disabled people would be allowed. If the question makes sense, I didn't hear any answer to that.
Okay, this is the process which we haven't had time to go into the detail of. But every registered voter in the constituency model is allowed to register in two constituencies. That's any of the 15 constituencies, including the geographical and also the at-large constituency. And they are allowed to vote in those constituencies. So somebody who would be a person with disability would possibly select to that constituency, but we'll also add another one, such as at-large or geographical.
All right, thank you. You're listening to WBAI. 212 is our number, our area code, 209-2900, talking bylaws, and you're on the air. Good afternoon.
How are you? I've been listening to the conversation, and I think that something that might be a good idea is that people who are doing shows should commit themselves for 2 years to the mission and shouldn't be able, well, maybe more than that, but I say 2 years or 3 years is fair. And that they should write in their what their motivation for doing their show is. And if their motivation is ultimately a commercial motivation, they're missing the whole mission of VAR.
Well, I think most there have been suggestions that in a self-evaluation arc, if we could call it that, that all programmers would be describing their programs, and an official proposal to do programming would talk about how programming is pitched to the mission, how it relates to the mission, how it's related to outreach, how it will bring up our craft level at the station, and that would be a standard by which programs can be evaluated. So your suggestion has actually been on the inside for quite some time, sir, but thank you for reiterating it.
I'd like to add to that.
That's good, regardless of what their politics are. They're giving me information.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that the program director is either has implemented or is considering implementing a system where as any new programming being instituted would have to submit a 500-word position document that would state that would clearly be directed at their understanding of the mission. And I think that position should not be for 2 years, but should be forever.
Mm-hmm.
And
Carol,
also the lab. And the program director's job is to ensure that every program that's on the air conform to the mission. Carol.
Yeah, I'd like to bring that to the issue at hand, which is bylaws. One of the reasons why we want elected boards representing a broad spectrum of perspective is to help us define and evaluate our mission going forward. Programming should be informed and evaluated based on policies that will come out of a more democratic and broad-ranging input.
All right, thank you. We're going to take another call at this time, 212-209-2900. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. So let me get this straight. The 15 areas or the 15 demographics will then make up the candidates. I'm calling from a payphone, excuse me. Make up the candidates. And then that will be in thirds, so the listeners will have one-third of that, and then the other two-thirds are what?
You're speaking to which model, sir?
Constituency.
The local constituency, the proposal that we're hearing about locally.
The one that was going to be in thirds, where the listeners would be one-third and the staff and unpaid staff would be another third, which one was that?
That proposal's not out there. The New York constituency model, let somebody else speak for, that has, I believe, 15 seats allocated to constituencies, 15 seats allocated to geographic regions and at-large people, and 6 seats allocated to staff.
What? Two questions, and then I'll hang up, and so you can move on. What power will this board have to delegate what or elect what? And what was the other one? What power would they have? And and just a statement. We were all listeners at one time, so the candidates should be all listeners, and it's made up that way. It should be all from the public, and I'm not so sure right now. I'm willing to shift that people who have shows and also work at the station should be part of that board. So I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for your call.
Well, if this is a question for the mission constituency, we have identified 13 mission constituencies. Which constitute 15 members of the board. 15 other members are the geographical constituencies, and there was 4 region, weighted a little bit more for New York City because of the large population, and then 9 at-large seats. I'm not too sure what was the other question?
What power would you see this board having, Fred?
Yeah, okay. The powers of the board and the relationship with the national board is something that we are still debating. Just like the rest of the community of the bylaws, the people who discuss in the bylaws committees, we have a wide range of opinions on that, and we're still debating that. But we will not come out with a position unless we reach a very substantial consensus, and it's not just a simple majority. We feel like we need to discuss that more.
Okay, and it's important for listeners who are just catching up to some of these issues, and perhaps that caller who was apparently waiting for a train, that this is one proposal coming out of New York, and there are other perspectives and other proposals, but this is the proposal that we decided to invite on this day to give to go at length at their concept. And in the fullness of time, you'll be hearing about a great many others.
I just wanted to say that from the point of view of KPFA land, there is a strong sense, the majority, overwhelming majority sense, that we want to empower to the greatest degree possible the local boards. That doesn't mean create complete autonomy or breaking up the network or something, but giving them the reasonable and logical powers they need at the local level, and then, as Carol was saying, an integrated governance so that the national decisions are made with full participation and consultation with the local level. But there are certain decisions that logically can take place at the local level. There's no point in electing, by whatever method, a local board that has no power. You're not going to get the best people to participate if they don't have any decision-making power. How much of that power, how you divide the power between national and local, are the key questions. I think there should be a certain amount of oversight of the budget for the local station. I think there should be a certain amount of authority with regards to the top management of the station. And I think that the local board should be setting policy, programming policy, in coordination with the National Programming Committee for the local stations. But there would not be day-to-day management by the local board of the stations, mostly just directing management and setting policy.
Okay, we're going to go to our next caller in our final 15 minutes here of Talkin' Bylaws Blues here on WBAI. And this used to be a blues slot, by the way. And it will be again. And you were on the air. Good afternoon.
Yes. Now, a lot of money was stolen, millions of dollars. And we still haven't found out what happened to that money. Meantime, many people who are on the air before, during, and after this coup, who collaborated with this coup. Sidney Smith was on the air for 4 hours.
Now I'm going to approach you the same way I went to that other caller. We're going to take your question, but we're not going to take any name calling by name and calling people out. But that caller does ask the question, and Ray, I'm going to put it to you because this is a bylaws program, but in as much as that you are on our national board, and I know Leslie Kagan has spoken some about this and how we deal with the money question to the public. What can you tell us at this point?
Well, the caller is right. There's been a lot of money unaccounted for that was extravagant spending. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of receipts, bills that are missing. However, part of the settlement was to decide that unless we could show clearly that there was malfeasance, that nobody would be charged with this. And up to this, as far as I know, we haven't been able to show it in a legal fashion. So we're forging ahead and we're discussing specifically in New Pacifica where this would be impossible to happen again.
Okay, and also because this national board meeting will be taking place in Houston next week, there is always a financial report at length during the board meeting. We're going to go to our next caller here at WBAI New York. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, hi there. I'd like to make a suggestion for a couple of bylaws I'd like to see implemented.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, the first one would be that, you know, being a station manager is a very difficult job, I would imagine. So I would like to propose that the station manager cannot also simultaneously be a producer on the station.
Well, the station manager is not a producer at this station, and I don't believe at any other station.
I'm sorry, I mean the program director.
That you would want to write that into bylaws.
Okay. And the second proposal I'd like to make is that no producer should be allowed to badmouth other producers on the air. I think that's very unprofessional. It reminds me of the days of the coup, and I'm very disturbed by that.
Well, maybe I can deal with that. We are in the process. We have a personnel committee that is looking at different issues regulating behavior on the job. And the question specifically of on-air policy, what regulations deal with that behavior, is being taken up by that committee. You were extremely correct. These are very important issues, and we're looking at them. And they will be part of the new bylaws that we're producing and personnel policies.
Okay, hang on. Carol Spooner wants to join in on that.
Policy issues. What bylaws do is tell you who has the authority to make those policies. So the bylaws would say who the directors are and what their powers are and who the local boards are and what their powers are. I happen to agree with both of those policies. Local boards and national boards can implement policies that would say no bad-mouthing people, other producers on the air, and also no management personnel producing programs. I think those would be policies that, through a democratic system, our boards could very well adopt.
Let me ask you a hypothetical, those of you who are here. Whether we're talking about a national board or a local board, one of the reasons that some of the name-calling over the air among staff took place, one of them, and we're not just talking that 13-month period, but this happens every couple of years, never at that scale, but it happens every couple of years. One of the reasons why it does happen is that often producers feel, or on-air hosts feel, that there is no other avenue to take their grievances to, and so they, in some cases, feel obligated to take it to the air and to involve listeners in this. And it's a hazardous process. What sort of mechanism would a local board or a national board, your various models, but let's talk about practically, how would those boards be able to respond to those grievances before they explode into the listenership?
Can I speak to that?
Can we go one at a time? I've been waiting months to ask that question.
The first thing you do is you put staff on boards.
Yeah.
Staff are victims here. They were disenfranchised. They were not listened to. They were ordered about. They had no voice in the running of the station. And, of course, things got out of hand and people got very vocal about it on the air. And thank goodness they did in some cases, because the listeners were very ignorant of what was going on. That's why I think it's very, very important that staff elect representatives to boards that help develop policies for running the station. That gives them an avenue for coming up with grievance procedures and helping to resolve these things through respectful dialogue inside the station.
Yes, and not only should staff be serving on local boards, but they should be serving on the national board. At KPFA, we have a program council, which now has representation from the unpaid staff, which it never did before. It has 4 seats amongst something like 10 seats or maybe 12 seats on the program council that are from the unpaid staff, as well as seats that are from the community now on the program council. So those are methods. And then, for instance, the local board at KPFA has a policy and personnel committee that is working on creating grievance policies that hopefully will be an improvement over what we've had in the past. But at the end of the day, I think that as long as people are not necessarily bad-mouthing individuals, it's not unreasonable. This is why we removed the gag rule for station personnel to take a moment, not their whole show, but to take a moment to call listeners' attention to issues that they think might be relevant now that listeners, at least at KPFA, have a democratic way to then act upon that information. So okay. Information and transparency is a good thing in a democracy.
Okay, but in that case, so what you're saying is that I, as a broadcaster, I would be free to endorse candidates to the LAB because in most cases I am.
Say that issues, things
issues.
Like.
Because you understand how murky this area is.
Right. We've written fair elections procedures that prohibit on-air endorsements.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
By any station personnel. But,
exactly.
But what I think on-air personnel can and should do is discuss issues facing the station, such as, should we have more or less music? is there enough programming that addresses, is there balanced programming that addresses certain issue? Are we hearing both sides of the question? Are we leaving things out? I think staff can talk about those issues with listeners and get their opinions and share their views. I think it's a very different thing when you say that producer over there is doing a lousy show and lying to the listenership. That's a different order of communication.
Okay, Marguerite Dominique and then Ray LaForest.
Yeah, this is why I feel that if there are all these constituencies included in the board, then they'll be able to discuss and hash out whatever problems that come up before that it will be taken to the air. There would be no need. But when people feel that their views are not listened to, they don't have representation, and this is when they take it out to the listener group. So more representation within the board will hash out these problems, and that would put an end to producers bad-mouthing each other.
But keep in mind also, Kev, can you hold on just a second, Kirk Gray? We have Ray LaForest and Fred Nguyen also who want to speak on
that. But Fred wants to go first.
Okay.
Discussing that question raised by Matthew.
Okay. The Unity Caucus has not addressed this particular issue. Either I can bring my personal opinion on this for having been exposed to the kind of things that Matthew is talking about. I think there's really two types of events that occurs here. There's something that imply a management issue or somebody talking about something that's happening within the staff at the station. And then there's political issues where two producers or two hosts may actually be in conflict there. The first issue would probably be better addressed with some sort of conflict resolution committee of the lab. The second issue of political differences, I think that people just have to be courteous, you know. I mean, after all, they're part of the same community, but I would not put a damper or any gag rule on that.
Right.
Well, I just would like to add that I think you hit it on the head, that I'm assuming that one of the major contributors to this crisis is the perception, justified or not, that there is no other avenue to resolve it. And I think this is management's responsibility here. To create the structure and to be flexible enough so that if someone is really frustrated and there's Curtis mentioned a grievance. I don't know if he meant that in a legal, like a grievance procedure within a union. But that there would be a guarantee for that issues and also demonstrated a record of establishing a demonstrated record of resolving, of being available for doing so. And also making clear that there's some violations will not be tolerated and making clear what they are. To everybody.
And also being consistent in how discipline is enacted, because historically that was one of the things that was not happening.
Yes.
And
consistently
twice. Inconsistent, I could almost say. We have time for really one more caller, because I know the panel all would like to make some final statements before we wrap up. And that caller is you. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi. I would like to first thank you all for doing this on the air.
Thank you.
I think that using the signal as a way to get the internal workings of the station out to the public is essential. It's a way to bring people in and to do the outreach and organizing that the constituency model would like to do. I think that Pacifica, is fundamentally about a deep dialogue and participation. And if we can find a way to use the radio station to involve more and more people into the station and the working of it, it would be good. And more programs like this would be a very good way to do that. So that is one thing. Also, I think that, the bylaws are really, in one sense, a framework, and really what's important is the living discussion and the kind of debate that takes place around the station and as a way to inform the programming at the station. If we don't have that participation, if it's in the hands of local elites or people that have taken the power away from the listenership somehow as representatives, divorced from the community, we'll have a problem on our hands. So what I would like to advocate is more of these programs and also more participation and a focus on participation as the primary goal for the bylaws revision.
Yes.
And not locking something into a dead sort of, you know, legal document. But really what we want to do is involve more and more people and make people feel as if it's their radio station, and that they can, by becoming involved in the governance of the station, that helps them to have a voice on the air and also bring their issues out. So that's all I'd like to say.
Well, we want to thank you. I think that's a fine note to close on as a representative, whether you're a member or not, of the listenership. We have about 3 minutes to finish. So I'd like to start with Ray, go through our the folks in the studio, and perhaps leave some final comments to the West Coast. Ray, if you could begin.
Well, actually, since we don't have too much time, I'd like to support what the caller said, except to add that not only we should, but we have to ensure that the listenership is broadened and is diversified. So I will just use a minute here to say that. We have a meeting coming up this coming Tuesday at 6:30 at 75 Varick Street. We encourage everybody to participate and let other people know that it's taking place. And it's at the corner of Canal Street. The trains there are AEC number 109, and you go to the 14th floor. We also have a phone line that you can call to give us comments, and it's 212-209-2960. And for future shows, I would really want to hear from the people calling, not only what they want to see in terms of bylaws change, but what they think of this very process that we're going through right now. What changes, what is it they don't like, and what suggestions they have about this process.
Okay, and perhaps another thing would be, because maybe if people who are part of organizations or nonprofits who have pre-existing experience with these attempts at representation, to find out how it actually happens on the ground would be good before it happens. Fred Nguyen, Marguerite Dominique, we want to thank you for joining us very, very quickly. Any final statements?
Well, I'd like to say that our model will be available shortly, as early as next week, Monday, on the web, www.net, and also it will be presented at the Houston meeting. So I'll ask everyone to look out for it and to remind them that the constituency model does involve community, different communities, and it does protect against takeovers it with its outreach mandate. So I like people to take a look at it and support it.
Okay, and Fred?
I think Margaret said it all. I would like to thank Matthew Finch and the radio committee for inviting us.
Okay, thank you. In a final 20 seconds, Kurt Gray and Carol Spooner, thank you for joining us. Could we say goodbye quickly, since we're just about out of time?
Very quickly, I think that the listener participation is crucial. I'd like to have open committee structures so that people will participate in the living governance of Pacifica. A dry document is no better than the people who implement it.
And
yeah,
Kurt Gray?
I agree. That's fine.
Well, that's fine. We're done. Thank you all for joining us, spending time on a very, very busy Saturday and a beautiful day. For more information, we're going to give you two websites that I know of, and that will do it for us. You can follow this ongoing story at www.pacifica.org or at wbai.net. There will be the next edition next week. I believe we have located time, and as we get out of the summer, it's going to be. I want my colleagues to understand this. It is going to be much harder to locate available time on this air to do this, but we are duty bound to do it. So, we will be doing two distinct hours next week. Probably one of them hosts. And staff as yet undetermined for that. One of them will be Thursday morning around 11 a.m. and probably a second on Friday morning. Ray, we're going to give you the last word because Mr. Beauchamp is ready.
You said the requirement from the board is not ad limitum. There's a limit to it. It is only as long as the process is going on. Personally, I would hope that something similar would continue. This is part of an education process, that we would look at the implementation of those bylaws and that people do have a voice. And I think it's very important. And we have to do it.
All right. Thank you all. And that will conclude next week at this time. We will be 3-5 mode listening to the proceedings of the National Board in Houston, Texas. Stay tuned. Peter Beauchamp is here with All Mixed Up. Yeah.